made it, gang. Season 3, YBIG.
Season 3, baby.
Let's go. We did the damn thing.
We're not doing anything, like, different.
No.
Right?
It's pretty much the same.
Same shit, same theme, same art. Just a different season.
Yeah, we just decided that it was time to do a new season. So that's
yep.
Just sort of how we roll. Sort of how we do stuff.
As always, we are joined, myself and Jacob, by Keelan. Keelan, how are you doing?
Yeah, I'm here.
You don't still have to do your character from the finale. So just
you cannot do that. You can just not
be Dr. Keelan anymore.
Please don't do that.
Yeah, that's so good.
And we've got an old friend and a new friend in the studio tonight. Welcoming back Nelson.
Hello.
And we've also got Mars, and they are here to discussing the sun.
Hey, project. That's pretty good, man. That's good.
Thank you. How are y'all doing?
I'm okay.
Doing pretty well, you know? Swell.
Cool. I have two answers you can get for that question. Just like, yeah, I'm all right, or I'm doing very well.
Well, it's been a day for me.
Okay, I was gonna say, I feel like okay is a very honest answer. So, why are you just okay? Why not good?
I have an ex that's like, you know, having marriage problems, and they are coming to me with them, and I'm may not necessarily feel like dealing with that right now.
Yeah.
I don't care who takes garbage. Like, why the fuck do I care? Like,
it's like, hey, you could have come to me with those problems like 5-10 years ago, and it'll be fine.
Yeah. That's tough. No, you hate to see that. Did you ever, like, what was the tweet that was like, I don't have the emotional labor to deal with this right now? Just sending back, like, the most cookie cutter, like, I can't do this right now response. Just immediately blow it off. That's the way to do that. Just ignore it entirely.
I mean, I don't know. I have no patience for like arguments about garbage. Like, do any of you like living in filth? Then take out the garbage. It's not a gender role. Like,
yeah, for real. That's so real. Honestly, you just, I don't know. So much, you can tell so much about someone as an adult from just like their living space, I guess. Like, you can see the evolution of people from like from how they live. I don't know. It's so fascinating to me to like know people than to finally get a little glimpse of where they live. It's so fun.
I feel attacked.
Why are you feeling attacked?
That's a self-report, dude.
Yeah, what are you? Yeah. I wasn't gonna say shit, Keelan. That's absolutely all right. Keelan's place is pretty dirty. Let's be real.
It's not my fault.
Let's be real. That's not at all why I said that, but it is the truth.
Is my typing coming through, by the way?
Yeah, it is.
Okay. Yeah. Let me adjust that real quick. Oh my god, my reduced background noise was all the way down to zero.
Huh. I
sound fine now.
Yeah, you sound fine the whole time, dog.
Does this sound fine?
Ladies and gentlemen, introducing...
Yes.
Okay, cool. All right, continue.
I was just waiting. I thought you had a joke for that. You were just genuinely testing.
I was genuinely testing the soundboard.
You piece of shit.
Oh, God. Fred Durst. That's what I have to look forward to here.
You know what you're getting into, unfortunately.
There's a little bit of Fred on the soundboard. There's not much, but there's a little.
No, there is definitely a little bit. You got at least 3 Limp Bizkit clips.
I have 2.
Don't you have one with Rollin'? Or that was just an idea?
All right, partner. Keep on rolling, baby.
Yeah, that's
you know what time it is.
All right,
speaking of keeping on rolling.
Wow.
I think it might be about time we jump into our first segment.
Yeah, we could roll into our first segment. And I have the theme song for that, so I can play that. Don't get comfortable. Look, I don't dance now. I make money move. Hey, hey. Say I don't gotta dance. I make money move. If I see you now, that means I don't fuck with you. I'm a boss to a worker, bitch. I make bloody moves. Now she say... Welcome to Money Moves. That's Money Moves.
Hey, and we've got a new theme for Money Moves. Thank you, Nelson, for remixing that.
Thank you so much.
Hitting us with the L&B mix.
Yeah.
2 hours old now.
Hell yeah. Astute listeners of the show will recognize.
You are so, so sick of listening to it at this point.
That's the problem with remixing stuff is that I have to, like, listen to it over and over and over again. And, like, yeah, it's especially if it's a song that I didn't like. Like, yeah.
I mean, frankly, it was, like, a cute idea. It was, like, maybe a cute idea the first few times we played it. But then committing to naming the segment that and having to play, like, the first 10 seconds of Bodak Yellow every time we did an episode, it was pretty grating. And we also, like, didn't want to get hit with any of the copyright stuff. We're just using that song. So astute listeners will notice that that is not the studio version of Bodak Yellow. So for legal reasons, it is not.
Yep. But just to kind of give us an idea of what we're going to do here in Money Moves. This is where we kind of figure out the history of the project, typically via Q&A. So I've got a couple questions prepared for you. My first one is just, how did you two get together? Like, when did you first start collaborating? You know, how did you meet each other? What's the origin story of Discussing the Sun?
You want to take this, Mars?
You got it. I like the way you tell it.
We met, I believe, actually probably around this time, like 2 years ago, I think, or maybe 3 years ago. Yeah, 3 years ago.
Yeah.
It was like November of 2019, right before Lavender House came out. And I believe Super Destroyer sent me Mars's record that came out earlier this year. And I just fell in love with it. You know, it went back to the older material that they released. And
nice. Hell yeah.
And like, there's a song called Picture of Health that made me like, yeah, I have to talk to this person. I really have to talk to this person. And as far as like when the music discussion came about, I think we have exchanged like, hey, we should do something together. And it's like, I think it was like more than a year before we actually activated that thought. Mm-hmm. You know, that, you know,
having like the DM made but like no music yet for like a year, I feel like that's how like 99% of projects start.
Yeah,
I mean, there were a couple of songs that I sent Mars, and we just sat, and they just sat for a while. If I'm wrong, please correct me, Mars.
Yeah, I think the first one you sent me was Shade, if I remember correctly, and I was listening to it in my car in between shifts, like for 3 days straight, making shit up. And what I think was in an insomnia fueled recording session, I recorded Shade and I sent it to you. And I don't think we did anything for like 7-8 months when you sent me apologies. And even then, those like 7 more months till we started working on like this record that just came out.
Oh yeah.
And apologies eventually became It's Just Like Bleeding. But like, yeah, like we didn't have, and at the beginning of this, it was just a couple songs, and at one point it just went into high gear. Like we had like, I think a total of like 5 songs at the end of like a couple weeks. If I'm remembering right.
Yeah, it was like 3 weeks. I think the rest of the record just came out. Like and I remember really distinctly, I was working a very annoying job where I just sat outside of a coffee shop for 3 weeks asking people to register to vote. Ugh. And it super sucked. And you know, at the time I was in Texas, so it was like 90, 95 every fucking day. And I was sitting there one morning and these white men were just like talking about the sun and how it was going to explode and everything is meaningless. And I remember writing a poem about being angry at these random white men for discussing the sun. and I think like a few days later, I was like, Nelson, this is the band name. And for another year, we didn't work on the record.
Hell yeah. That's so good.
That actually brings us to the next question that I have, because obviously everyone's got every interview, you gotta ask where the band name comes from. But I just kind of wanted to talk like nomenclature overall, because I feel like the band name is very unique. But I also saw a little blurb on Twitter that seemed to kind of indicate what the album name, which I guess we should probably say is Feel It All, kind of where that came from.
Yeah, I couldn't tell you really why the name of the band was just like really impactful. I think if I think really hard about it in pseudo deep thought, at least this record, Feel It All, entertains like so many emotions and it feels like you're talking about just so much all the time. Mm-hmm. And it just like fit and made sense. Like feels like discussing the sun. You're just like, what are we even talking about? It's everything. And also super nothing.
Right.
Feel It All. You know, the record, I think, I don't know how people have taken it, but the way that I wrote it definitely was every song is a different place of feeling about one situation. And at the end of writing that record, it was like this big emotional experience for me to just recognize, like, I can't just feel one way about it, right? Mm-hmm. I can't just be angry about the loss. I can't just be sad. I have to feel everything all at once. Mm-hmm. And directly that name comes from this letter that was written to me from this person who like ended our relationship, and their last advice to me was essentially to feel everything. Mm. So when we got to the end of the record, I was like, okay, well, this is it. This is what makes the most sense.
Sure. That makes a lot of sense. Correct me if I'm wrong. I know, I'm pretty sure you like say it in Hold the Space at the end of the album. I don't think it's anywhere else, right? Is it just in that song?
I think the title?
I think so. I could be wrong. I thought I heard it in there. I did the
I think Hold the Space is where those words are.
I did the little like Leo finger point meme when I heard it the first time through. So I was very excited to hear that. But that makes a lot of sense, and it kind of like it makes sense because of that like that song and also that feeling sort of like tie everything so well together through the album. So that's dope. That's awesome.
Yeah.
I also noticed that a lot of the song names carry a lot of weight. Like you've got like Vessels of God. Like that's a title that just kind of like smacks you in the face.
Yeah, hell yeah.
Lonesome in Gravity. It's Just Like Bleeding. So like all of the like words associated with the project are just very like impactful and really, really hit you the right way.
Mm.
Yeah, I'm like actually really personally proud of all those just because every title, for the most part, I think the only exception is Shade, is from a poem in my journal.
Wow.
And so like when we were putting the record together, I had mountains of poetry from this month that I'm writing about, the end of this relationship, and I just sat down and I pulled out these lines that like encapsulated whatever feeling I was talking about in the song. And actually I think I in another insomnia fueled art thing that I was doing, I think on Bandcamp I added the like I pulled the journal entries, and so instead of descriptions it has the dates and like journal entries that the songs are pulled from.
Oh, wow.
Because it is like very, to me, it's just this collection of all of these feelings. And I have them all written down somewhere at some point. Yeah.
Wow, that's crazy. I wish I had the foresight and like, frankly, talent to like be able to write out my emotions. I feel I cannot even imagine being able to like put that into art and then like make something substantial with it. That's so cool to me. That'll never stop being the coolest shit in the world. Sorry, but it's so cool.
And just for the record, like when Morris names his tracks, they are way better than the names than the working titles that I had for everything. way better.
Is there a really silly working title for any of them that you like? Where, I mean, you know, obviously you're not planning on using any of them, but like, are there any ones that you're like, that's actually decent or like funny?
Before, I mean, I forgot what Protector's working title was. I really forgot. Because I think that's the only song I think that we have, well, that I have made, you know, before it got used. But Shade is still Shade. That was right. A working title for that song. And before this project, my working titles were all Chrono Trigger characters, and I believe some of those made it to this project.
Nice.
Lonesome in Gravity was just Smooth with like 11 O's, because that was done after like Mars called me while I was at work. It was like, because I thought we were done after five tracks, and Mars was like, no, we are not done.
We are not fucking done. Yeah, get back in the studio.
Basically, it described me what they wanted, and I went back and I gave them back two tracks, and one of them became Lonesome in Gravity, if I remember correctly. You know, and but yeah, like I think most of these are made after either Mortal Kombat or Chrono Trigger characters.
I think one of them was called Chicken Tacos, if I remember correctly.
Nice, it's very nice. One
was Chicken Tacos. Hold the Space was Smooth. That's what it was. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, Chicken Tacos is definitely the winner for me. That's an amazing working title for a song.
They're delicious.
So the two of you have been collaborating, I wouldn't say necessarily across the country. Like it's not like the 100 Gex scenario where they're like Chicago and California. Like it's literally like most of the country between them. But you're at least collaborating from across the Midwest. So what is your like creative process like? Is it just emails back and forth?
Well, this was written, so I'm from Texas originally.
Mm-hmm.
So we wrote this when I was still in Austin in Nelson.
Oh, okay.
So I'd say that's across the country.
Yeah, that's across the country. I'm sorry, I just looked at the Chicago in the bio. I apologize.
No, wow. Yeah, I'm just gonna rep Chicago from now on.
Hey, it's my favorite city in the world.
Yeah, Chicago rocks. I love being in Chicago. I've never had a bad time there. Keelan, what is that? You just growl.
Keelan hates Chicago.
Why do you hate Chicago, man?
We're not getting into it.
You hate the big like neon green relish on the hot dogs. You hate it so much.
I just no. I'm not getting started.
You're so close. Come on. You hate the Bears. What is it?
Keelan doesn't like Chicago because.
Oh, fuck off. That sucks. That's such a dumb reason.
No. Also, fuck the Cubs. Let's get that out of the way. Okay.
Wow.
Okay. Wow. Why? No, okay. Let's move on.
All right. You know, sending tracks back and forth between Texas and Ohio. You know, that's how we got the record. But I guess my next question would be like, are there plans to do any kind of like live type deal, or are we just looking to pump out tunes?
I'm open to it, you know, but I think the music is the most important thing right now.
See, I've got a massive ego, so yes, I want to.
See, I'm very meek, so.
No, I mean, it'd be so cool to play live. My work is dumb and long, mm-hmm. so we haven't really talked about it a lot, but yeah, I would agree. Like, the music, I think, is the primary objective, like, with this project.
Hell yeah. Just
putting stuff out that feels good and, yeah.
Or bad, or whatever, because we are trying to feel it all. Right?
Yeah. That's right. Yeah. That's a really good point. That's a very good
Thank
point.
Thank you. All right. I have one more question for Money Moves. To round it all out, I saw some discussion on Twitter. I think this was on Nelson's feed about Lori's seasoned salt, which let's just say It's an all-time classic seasoning.
It's a good season.
My dad used to use it on burgers. He'd just like put a shitload of it on the patties and just chef's kiss. Like it goes good on just about everything.
It is good.
But what is the number one brand that you would want to sponsor DTS, either because you think that like your message is in line with the brand, or because you want that sweet free product?
Oh shit.
You have any ideas, Mars? I mean, I can give an answer. You can give an answer.
My answer would be Austin East Ciders, which is a cider company.
Ooh.
In Texas. So I just fucking love cider and I want free shit all the time.
That's so valid. I so respect the give me free shit sponsorship, like, yeah. The way of thinking, because that's where I'm at. I mean, I don't think realistically that I'm gonna find a brand that aligns with any values of mine, so I think that I just have to go for the send me free stuff option. So I respect that choice.
Thank you.
For me, I would like Roland or Akai, because literally this record was made on mostly Roland and Akai instruments. So, but yeah, that's my answer, because I'm tired of paying for Roland and Akai prices for Roland and Akai shit.
Yeah.
But yeah, like all the drums were done on an Akai, this Akai Fire here, you know, which you guys can see.
Ooh,
okay.
You know, and this sampling was done on this guy.
Ooh.
So there's that.
Are those things easy to learn? Because I'm trying to get Jacob to contribute musically to any project that we ever do. Yep. And I feel like the best way to get him to do that is with like either like he can play the laptop or he's gonna have to have something that doesn't have like strings on it.
I'm looking for if there's a way that I could just plug my phone aux into the speaker and play like silly sounds off of it. That would probably be ideal for me.
I mean, there is like plenty of stuff that goes with Ableton that is better for live presentation. If me and Mars do perform live, I would be doing an Ableton setup, you know, as far as like live stuff goes. But and I believe I can also do that with the NPC live, but it's going to have to take some learning to like launch the clips and everything, but you know, especially for the NPC will be easier to go into a mixing board, because I can actually split the tracks up and have the mixing board do like split up the drums and everything. But you know, but yeah, it's easy to learn. It probably took me about 7 months, and I did a podcast where I talked about when I did just like Heaven on my second Lonely Ghost record, Phantom, where like when I first got it, I did a mix of it and it was awful. And then like 8 months later, I was able to get a handle of what my sampler could do.
Huh.
And like, yeah, that's how I learned that way. I did not read the manual. I just completely like messed around in standalone mode, because you can use this in tangent with a PC and in standalone mode as well. And I believe I did one track of drums with a drum machine that I ended up giving Mars, and I think that was Shade, actually.
You know? Nice.
But it's easy to learn. Like, but yeah, like I hate paying the prices for
yeah, that. That's what I was gonna say. I feel like the solution for me, I love Robin, where your head's at with all that, and you're absolutely right. I feel like at this point, I'm leaning more towards playing the laptop, which is not the move, I don't think. But I don't think the solution is buy a bunch of equipment either. I think you've lost me there first. Like, buy a bunch of expensive equipment and then have to learn how to play it. Nah, dude, I'll just buy a drum or something. Like, I don't know. I don't know about all that, man.
Bro, that's where the pickle bucket comes in.
That's true. I'll play the bucket.
Yeah.
you said in the group chat the other day, you referenced what's it called? Cajones? Is that the box you sit on to drum?
Yeah.
You referred to it in the group chat as cajones, which I'm pretty sure is Spanish for balls.
I called it a cajon.
No, I don't think so. But
unless
not
auto corrected.
But I mean, that's not why I brought it up.
Corrected it a million times.
That's not why I brought it up, but I think it would be cool if I played the box. I could just sit on the box and kind of smack it around a little bit.
Do you have rhythm?
I have no.
Okay. Then maybe you shouldn't play the box.
Wow.
Anyway.
Anyway. I think that's gonna wrap us out for money moves.
Yeah, what? Do you wanna take a little potty break?
Is it potty break time already?
Yeah, it's about potty break time.
Time has been flying.
It has been.
It's been like 20 minutes.
It's not potty break time. Jacob, pick something to talk about for 5 minutes.
You guys watched the news recently?
Yeah, that Brett Favre thing is crazy, man. Yeah.
Honestly, that is so crazy.
Wait, what's the Brett Favre thing? I don't know about that at all.
We did talk about football last time that we had Nelson on. It was the Super Bowl predictions episode.
Holy shit, so I forgot about that. This is a good
continuation, because football just started.
Football did just start.
I mean, but this is not a football story, though.
Well, you said Brett Favre.
Yeah, I mean, he threw a football like 10 years ago.
Yeah.
Well, more than that now, but like, yeah, like.
I genuinely don't know. What happened? What was it?
He stole money from like a Mississippi welfare fund to build a volleyball stadium and siphon even more for like speech engagements that he never gave.
Jesus, you know? Brett.
And even more went into a pharmaceutical that he's invested in and also a spokesperson for it too, like $200,000 of it.
Wow.
And
move, honestly. That's a move. Bold.
He just cannot let Aaron Rodgers have the spotlight for anything, good or bad. Like, Aaron Rodgers starts being a psycho and he's like, I have to one up him and also be a psycho now.
I mean, Aaron Rodgers is like doing the Kyrie Irving thing, and yeah. At the end of the day, that's harmless. But when you're stealing money from like, you know, poor people, and like the thing is, like, I've been to Mississippi. I lived there for about 6 months. And bar none, it is like the most welcoming state of the union. So it kind of does piss me off.
You know, really?
Oh yeah, like everybody calls you baby. Like, oh, what you want, baby? Like, oh shit, you know?
Oh
yeah, it makes me feel warm.
It does make me feel good when people say that to me.
You know, and yeah, because I lived there when I was in tech school. When I was in the Air Force back in the mid aughts. Yep. You know, but like, yeah, it was. It's just a nice place to be. The people are nice, no matter how much money they do or don't have. Like, everybody welcomes you home. Like, you know, like, if you befriend somebody, they're gonna take you home and cook for you and shit. You know, it's actually pretty nice. You know,
damn, that does sound cool. Let's go to Mississippi. Let's hang out there.
And it is a very different culture than, say, you know, like Louisiana. Because I spent time in Louisiana. I spent time in Texas. Not you know, Mars, Texas. I spent time in like Oklahoma, Texas, you know, so, and that's like a really weird place for a guy like me to be, you know, and like, yeah, Mississippi was just always very kind. And, you know, it's just my connection to that story is one that I take extremely offense with.
Ew, so. That sucks. So if you were in the Air Force, how similar was your experience to Top Gun?
To what?
to that movie Top Gun?
I'm going to ask you one question.
Yep.
What branch of service was in Top Gun?
it was not the Air Force.
Is it not the Air Force?
It's not the Air Force.
They had planes, right?
Dog, I haven't seen Top Gun. I'm going to be real with you. I thought that was a shoe-in that was the Air Force. I mean, that's my bad, I guess.
My numbers, I think the Navy has more planes than the Air Force.
Is that real?
Yeah.
So what does the Air Force do? Like, what are they doing if they're not flying planes?
I mean, they are flying planes. It's just that the Navy also fly planes, and Marines also have planes. Like, you know.
So, killed Keelan.
So you're saying it was nothing like Top Gun to be in the Air Force?
I did not fly planes back when I was in there.
Okay, all right.
I was a parachute packer and a survival equipment technician. Yeah. So, but yeah,
that's wild.
Did you ever play beach volleyball?
No.
Felix,
no.
Shut the fuck up.
Nelson doing the shirtless beach volleyball scene.
Oh, man.
No, the Air Force was full of a bunch of, like, you know, people like me, I think. And, like, we'll find us on Saturday night playing D&D on the dorms and shit, you know? Like, it, yep. It was, you know, like, it's definitely a place for introverts like myself, you know?
Yeah, I mean, that makes sense. I definitely think there's a lot more of that than they get credit for. For sure. It's not all just, like, meatheads flying planes. Extremely hot meatheads flying planes.
Nelson is hiding his Top Gun stories. I actually think they all happen.
That would be so good.
What is the Air Force doing?
We did have to rub each other's biceps down with oil before we
I fucking knew it.
Oh my god.
Oh yeah. That makes sense. That was more of a team building exercise rather than anything else.
We called it wet the pecs, you know. So
yep.
Yep.
America rocks. Go America. God damn.
Oh man, that's so good. That's disgusting. I can't believe you had that ready to go.
Did you ever get your sheets hat, by the way?
No, I never got a sheets hat. I kind of, so I feel like last time I checked on the website, last time we talked about it, they had a weird, like, my options were either a trucker hat or like a camo print, and frankly, I'm not.
There was a denim one.
I think it was sold out, I want to say. I think I did try. Sorry, I'm on the Sheets website now.
Yeah, now I'm looking to see if there's merch.
Of course there's merch. What do you mean, is there merch?
Okay, I found the merch shop. And, all right, I think now's probably as good a time as any to take our little pee break.
Check
make
back
sure
soon.
That Jacob buys his hat.
The Sheets store is closed. Why the Sheets not? Check back soon.
I'm telling you, you just got to get a job there. You just got to work like third shift for like a week.
Dude, I might. Who knows?
All right, I got to go pee.
All right, yeah, we'll be right back. We'll do our little ad read and we'll be back. Hey, everybody. Welcome into... It's the ad break. It's your favorite part of the show, gang. It's the ad break. You know it. You love it. It's the part of the show where we remind you that you can write in and you can send us an email. You can do that at YBIGpodcast@gmail.com.
Don't ever see it sober if I'm breathing.
What?
Racing to the moonlight and I'm speeding. I'm headed to the
Robin?
Stars.
Hello?
Ready to go far and start walking.
That's right, folks. Worlds for League of Legends is in North America this year. So check your pick'ems and lock in for Star Talkin'.
All right. What is that? You're doing a different ad read in the middle of the show? What is this?
So Worlds events are taking place in New York City, Atlanta, San Francisco, and Mexico City. I heard a lot of the games were really fun.
Okay, you're talking about League of Legends.
Not that either of us would know, because once you know it, tickets were nearly impossible to get, so we didn't get to go to Worlds this year, despite it being literally
our hometown. I suppose I should actually introduce my co-host. This is Sasha.
Hello. I speak for the trees.
Now, Sasha, next we're going to be getting into plans. Because plans went mostly as expected, with four of the five major region teams making it into the group stage, which took place at Madison Square Garden. We had Fnatic from Europe.
DRX from Korea.
The reigning MSI champions, Royal Never Give Up from China.
And hometown favorite, your North American heroes, Evil Geniuses, which we'll get to talk about that in a second.
Yeah, we're going to talk about them a little bit later. But the two of us spent the time between play-ins and groups gloating over EG's dominant 3-0 takedown of EU's fourth seed, the Mad Lions.
Or as they are now known as the Sad Lions.
How long is this?
That's right. Groups, however, did not go well for North America.
Or Europe. We'll get to that later.
Yeah. Yeah, with North America went 0-9 week 1, 3-6 week 2 for a total of 3-15, our worst showing to date. One European team did manage to escape groups, but the Otoamne and Larsen-fronted Rogue bombed out just today in a dominant 3-0 quarterfinal showing from China's number one seed, JDG.
Just to give a nice clear reminder that the gap is not closing, but is in fact doing the opposite. It is a canyon.
Yep. China's LPL and Korea's LCK representatives have once again proven their complete and utter dominance in the sport, having secured 7 of the 8 available spots in quarters. Now, I'm excited for the game tomorrow, Sasha. Are you?
I'm excited for the game, but I'm not going to lie. The win has been not just taken out of my sails, but they have torn the sails apart just to really rub the salt into the wound.
Yeah, that's gonna do it for Star Talking this week. Tune in on the next episode when we tell you about the results.
Thank you for having me. Stay beautiful, stay warm. It is cold out there.
You can write it in the podcast, YBIG. Don't ever see it's over if I'm breathing. All right. Race it to the moonlight and I'm speeding. I'm ready to the stars, ready to go far.
Star Wars.
Oh, yeah. Basically, anything that comes from a palm tree or a tropical fruit tree, I cannot have.
So, like, Welch's, like, fruit snacks, you can't do those? Like,
nope. Anything. Most, like, gummy candies are coated in coconut oil to keep them from sticking to each other, so I can't have those. I can't have any of the good monsters with tea in them, because they have coconut water.
Ugh.
Most, like, Little Debbie and Hostess snacks, instead of butter, they use margarine, which is often made with palm oil. So I can't have Swiss cake rolls anymore.
Damn.
And I think it's probably because I ate so many Swiss cake rolls. And I probably conditioned my body to be like, you cannot have more.
You can't have any more. At this point, like, he's not going to stop eating them, so we have to shut things down here.
Exactly.
We have
exactly. Yeah, Swiss cake roll is not even my go-to Little Debbie snack either.
It's okay, what is your go-to Little Debbie?
I think I have a better definition of what I don't like, and that is the stars, the Rice Krispie stars,
mm-hmm. Star Crunch.
Star Crunch. Yeah, I hate those. And
fuck off. Fuck off. That's a great pick.
No.
Yes, it is.
I'm sorry. That was too fucking far.
Those are Star great. Crunch.
Oatmeal cream pies are awful.
Fuck off. Okay. Like, I'm fucking done.
They're always unnaturally wet. They're always unnaturally wet.
That's part of the appeal. It's like eating oatmeal if oatmeal was filled with like delicious cream.
No, man. Oh, I just took this out of the wrapper and it's wet already.
All right. In my defense, I like the Star Crunches a lot because I'm allergic to nuts. So I can't have like peanut butter or like any of the ones with nuts in them. So my like Little Debbie range is kind of limited as it is. But those got me chocolate, caramel, and crunchy all in the same. That's all I need. I'm set.
I'm sorry. I'm just gonna sandwich a Milky Way in between two Crunch bars if I want that. Like
my Star Crunch is basically a Crunch bar, but
no, it's honestly a 100 grand bar is what it is, and it's my favorite candy bar.
Okay, let's not disrespect the other candy bars. Okay, like the Star Crunch caramel consistency is not. It's not like a Carmelo. It's like a Rolo, and I hate Rolo caramel.
Rolos are also dope, dude.
Yeah, Rolos are great.
I feel like I'm making enemies. My own damn food.
I only like Rolos because I
can't eat most of these candies anyway. So you can say whatever you want.
The only reason that I like Rolos is because they're small. So it's like, oh, it's fine if I have 3 bags of these. It's not not a big deal. It's fine.
If you have a choice between a Carmelo and a Rolo, I'm picking a Carmelo easily.
I agree with you there. I'm no argument.
I've never had one of those.
Those are so good.
A Carmelo, it's like really light, you know, more. I don't want to say more liquidy, but like it's. The caramel is more caramel like.
Yeah, the Rolos are the little dudes, and the Carmelos are like. It's a candy bar made of little, like, pucks almost? Are they like not like little pucks?
Little chocolate morsels filled with caramel.
Yeah, but it's like soft and nice caramel rather than like the kind of hard. Rolos, you got to chew a little bit. Let's be real.
Yeah, they stick to your teeth. They ruin your day. You gotta brush your teeth after having one. You know, it's just a shade better than a Butterfinger.
It sticks to my tooth and hangs out all day in a very pleasant way that I enjoy.
I'm shocked that I haven't lost a tooth to a dot.
Yeah, for sure. Like, absolutely.
You want to talk about a bad candy.
Dots are awful. But the cosmic brownies are my go-to.
Oh, fuck yeah. Absolutely.
Can I?
No, what's up? Go ahead.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to. I was just going to say, as I've gotten older, cosmic brownies have gotten worse to me.
Whoa.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not, I don't disagree also, with you necessarily.
Also, the wet thing that Nelson was talking about, I also feel with cosmic brownies.
I can see that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It, like, here's the thing. If someone handed it to me, I'm going to eat it, right? But at this point, I can't seek them out anymore. Like, it's now just, they're getting worse.
What's your go-to?
My go-to? Oh, Swiss cake rolls, baby. Okay. How you doing?
Remember when they made peanut butter and jelly oatmeal cream pies?
Oh, that sounds good as shit.
Yeah, it's like grape jelly and like peanut butter, and the cake was still the same thing from the oatmeal cream pies. Instead of cream, it was peanut butter and jelly.
Oh, that sounds like it would slap.
I feel like that would have some textural problems.
And they're not good. I'm not
writing it off. But
they're not good. Not my involved. Mom used to buy them for me to put them on my lunch because I got like a special treat every Friday. And nice. When it was like those oatmeal cream pies, I'll just like take them out of the package and like throw them away so I didn't have to eat these things. You know,
damn. Like, that's so tough.
Nobody would even trade for them. Like doing the, like, hey, you got those Oreos. I'll trade you this. What is that? I don't want that.
Yeah, the secret to getting.
No, thank you.
The secret to the oatmeal cream pies, I fucking hate to say this, but the secret to the oatmeal cream pies is that you gotta buy the big box, because for whatever reason, the big box ones are also just way bigger. Like, if you buy the small box of oatmeal cream pies, they're like 3 inches wide, but if you buy the big box, they're like 6 inches wide, and the ratio of the cream is way better on the big ones.
I feel the same about cosmic brownies. If you buy them at a gas station, they're better than if you buy the box of them.
Yeah. I don't know what that's about.
I also really like the donuts, like the donut sticks.
Donut sticks are good.
Those are fine.
They're very dry. You have to have something to dunk them in.
Oh, a cup of coffee with one, though. With. A fucking cup of coffee with one is so good.
Yeah, this is a conversation that we had.
Yeah, it sure was.
Just doing this for 45 minutes and not doing the podcast at all.
Off the record, are we cool with keeping that whole discussion in? Because we never officially came back. Just cutting it where it's funny.
Yeah, I'm cool with that.
Cool. Sounds good.
People are going to hate me for my Star Crunch things.
No.
I do.
It'll be fine.
One already.
I'm pretty sure the Cosmic Brownie Army is going to get my ass now.
All right, so before we make any more enemies with our Little Debbie takes, I've got a little game that we're going to throw at you today. This is a new game in the YBIG universe that Jacob brought forward this season, and this is called Fact or Fraud. So I'm going to present you with a statement, and you have to determine whether that statement is fact or if it's fraudulent and I made it up. Since we've got sort of a packed studio today, we are going to be doing some teams. So Mars and Nelson, you two are unfortunately going to have to take on our hometown heroes, the juggernauts of the Worm Nation, the powerful, the indomitable Keelan and Jacob.
Yup. It's over for you guys. Sorry. I invented the game and came up with it, so I know all of its intricacies, and I will not miss a one.
But to be clear, he does not know any of these questions. I don't have these in the Google Doc. There's no way he could have cheated. The only way he can cheat is if he's like typing. And unfortunately, I don't have a way.
Would not cheat on my own show. I'm not doing
that. All right. So to explain the rules, I will go team by team. And you'll have an opportunity to discuss the statement that I give you. And you can discuss like your answer as a team. But there are no steals. So if you know the answer to the other team's question, like you can answer it for fun, but like you don't get a point for that. The team that is being asked the question has their shot. If they get it wrong, we just move on.
I don't have to get a point, but if I know their answer, can they be deducted a point? Jacob is talking mad shit over there.
That could be kind of cool. We'll see. First one's free. If you know all of their answers, then you know. But since these boys have the home team advantage, I've evened the playing field a bit by selecting a topic that, in theory, should favor our challengers. Because today, on Fact or Fraud, we're going to be discussing the sun. So I have 10 facts or frauds about the sun that I am going to present you with. So,
do you want me to keep score?
No, I don't trust you to keep score.
Okay, well, fuck you then. All right, well, then.
I'm going to keep score.
Fucking do it then. It's hard to keep score and say the questions, dog. Good luck.
Now, we're going to start with the away team. So, Mars and Nelson, your first statement is, the sun is a perfect sphere. Is that a fact or fraud?
What do you think, Mars?
I'm here, man. I'm just dying.
Okay. You really didn't want to be discussing the sun.
This is I was just a poser.
I think I want the sun is a perfect sphere.
I don't know. Where would I have gathered this information?
My reasoning is no, because the sun spins and obviously it's going to have like a centrifugal force in the middle that widens it just maybe a little bit, maybe.
Is that a fraud? Is that a final answer?
Yeah, I'm going to go with Nelson.
That is correct. It is almost a perfect sphere, but it is not actually a perfect sphere.
Wow.
So
okay.
We've got 1 point.
Do we know why? Can you have the reasoning behind these?
I have the reasoning behind some of them, but not all of them.
Okay, so and you can't tell them because you didn't come up with the reasons for the thing.
Tell me why.
All right. So moving on to the YBIG team.
All right. Okay. We got this. Easy.
Full solar eclipses will only continue to occur for the next 600 million years. Full solar eclipses will only continue to occur for the next 600 million years.
You're super quick to answer, and I appreciate that because you are much brighter than me. But what is your reasoning? We need to talk
because the moon is like actually getting off of its axis, like technically as time goes on. So I think that's why. Like eventually, it's just gonna like fucking fling off. I guess I don't know.
Hey,
shit, dude.
Hey, I trust you. I'm gonna say fraud.
Also, Earth be kind of dumb anyway. I mean, shit. Like we might just nuke ourselves anyway. So fucking eclipse, we're dead.
I guess that's a fair point. But
are we committing?
I think we're committing to facts.
Yeah, facts.
Okay. That is a fact. The moon is moving further away from the Earth, so eventually we will only see partial or annular eclipses, where it only covers like part of it, or it's like dead center, and you can see like the ring of the sun.
At the present time, the moon is 400 times smaller than the sun, but it's also 400 times like the distance from the sun. So it's like perfect right now.
Whoa.
Yeah. We've got the cool moon.
Yeah.
Tie goes in, tie goes out. Can't explain.
All right.
I'm just realizing I don't know shit about the sun, personally. Goddamn shit. Okay.
That is actually not true. That tie doesn't go in and tie goes out. It's just that the Earth rotates around a bulge of water between the moon and the sun.
Damn.
What?
What? Wait, hold on. Yeah. I need some more. I need a little bit more about that.
All right. Next question.
This is
This turns into science talk.
I'm a medical lab scientist. I do dabble in this stuff.
That's so not that's criteria. Fair. No.
I was just like, I'm qualified.
All right, Dr. Nelson, we'll see if you can get this one. One day, far in the future, the sun will shrink to the size of the earth. The sun will shrink to the size of the earth.
I mean, depending how technical you want to get, it's true. one day. No, because we don't have a star big enough to go to a black hole, so I don't know if it'll actually crush that star hole. It'll turn into like a white dwarf or some shit. But I'm not sure how big the white dwarf would be. So I don't know. But yeah, my band member will know. How about at Mars?
I just know it's not gonna be there at some point. I don't know what it's gonna look like. Yeah, sure. That's my official
answer. You think it's a fact? Final answer?
Why not?
That is a fact. The red giant phase, when the sun becomes a white dwarf, it will shrink to approximately the size of the earth.
You literally got fucking smaller. You got the white dwarf name drop in your answer. That's absolutely, that goes so crazy.
All right. Pod boys.
Damn, the sun. We really better figure out.
Oh my god!
God damn.
The sun produces energy in its core using nuclear fission.
You know what? The sun sure
produces energy in its core using nuclear fission.
Yeah, sure. That's what he said.
He means yes. Sure. Hold on. Let's talk about it.
We'll talk about it. Have you seen Chernobyl?
No.
I've seen Chernobyl, okay? And I feel like I know enough about nuclear physics from watching that show.
Okay.
Chernobyl is about radon and water reacting to create steam and turn a turbine. That is not what happened.
Yeah, wait, what? That's not what's happening to the sun, dude.
I know enough.
I don't think that's... I'm just concerned that... I mean, I know what nuclear means in the context of, like, atoms and stuff. But, like, is it happening in the sun? I don't know.
Probably. Why not?
Yeah, but probably is not good enough.
Okay, think about this. Radiation's coming from sun.
Is it?
Yeah. Yeah.
Is it?
Yeah.
Sure. Oh, is that why... Wait, hold on. Is that why sunburns exist?
No, that's okay. a different thing.
I'm gonna need y'all to come to a consensus on this.
Bro, here's the thing. We're going up against a med scientist guy.
Okay.
Alright.
Keelan has not stirred me wrong yet. We'll go let's say yes.
Is that your final answer?
Fact. Yeah.
The sun produces energy in its core using nuclear fusion.
You're such a motherfucker.
I'm going to shoot you.
You are such a motherfucker. With a
bow and arrow.
Fusion and fission are two totally different things.
You ever read The Most Dangerous Game?
Okay. Robert, and you can just go ahead and explain the difference between fusion and fission right now.
Yeah, right now.
One is putting them together and one is pulling them apart.
You just know that because you read it today. You just know that because you read it.
No. You don't know anything.
I know a lot of stuff. Anyway. Okay.
Jacob, you know that we were right in the spirit.
Yeah, we were basically correct.
Yeah. Thank you.
Next statement on fact or fraud. Light travels from the sun to the earth in about 500 seconds, but that same light can take millions of years to reach the sun's surface from its own core. That's a big one.
Wait, you lost me. Say it again. What?
So when the sun produces light, it takes about 500 seconds for that to take, or for that light to get from the surface of the sun to the earth. But it can take millions of years for that same light to reach the sun's surface when it's coming from where it's created in the sun's core. So millions of years to get through the sun, and then 500 seconds to Earth.
Well, 500 seconds, that's about what?
It's like 8 minutes, which is...
No, 8 minutes is four minutes in... oh, no, wait. No, eight what? Minutes is...
I did the math. It's 8.3 minutes.
But it's actually less than 8 minutes. Like 7 minutes and like 58 seconds or some shit like that. It's to be exact. I'm assuming he's going with an approximate answer, right? Or
yeah. Okay. So okay. I'll give you a little hint. The light does definitely, in fact, travel from the sun to the Earth in about 500 seconds. So that part is that part's fact.
Bro, the they real got a lead and they're getting hit.
The real question. Is if that light takes millions of years to get to the sun's surface from the core of the sun.
I believe it.
Feels like a metaphor. Yes, sure.
Fact?
Yep. Fact.
That is a fact. I would not have come up with that one on my own. Or if I did, I would have just changed like a little thing about it. So we've got discussing the sun with a 3-1 lead.
This is so fucked.
Ooh.
But they've got a chance to make up a point here.
Hey, Mark, you smell that? You smell that? It smells like victory.
I think it does. Yeah.
Pungent, you know?
We should have never taken that sports gambling.
All right. Helium makes up 73% of the sun's mass.
Fact.
Again, you were just so quick on the trigger. I need to know like why you're so confident in that.
Okay, and then guess what? I changed my mind. It's actually fraud.
Okay, so why?
Because you know what what's the most common element in our little world?
Isn't it carbon?
No.
Okay.
On the periodic table, it's hydrogen. Helium's number two. Hydrogen's the most common, and I'm pretty sure the sun be a whole lot of hydrogen. Therefore, fact. Therefore, or fraud. Fraud. Helium. Helium is wrong. That's what I'm trying to get at. It's okay. Wrong.
So you've determined that this is a fraudulent statement. Is that our final answer?
That's the final answer.
That is a fraud. It is hydrogen.
Wow.
Makes up 73% of the sun.
You fucking sussed it out, dude. Nice.
But helium does make up most of the remaining 27% of the sun.
You know why, Jacob? Do you know why? Nuclear fusion.
Oh, interesting. Interesting.
Got his ass.
The reason that the sun is in the sky is because it's got all that helium on the outside. That's why it stays up there.
The only reason, yeah.
Jesus Christ.
The element helium got its name from the sun. The element helium got its name from the sun.
I know there's like some European religion where Helios is a sun god, right? Yeah. Mars, do you want to argue with me?
No, not at all.
Okay. Same. Yeah.
Okay, yeah, I'm gonna go with
fact.
Oh yeah, I'm gonna go with fact. I'm pretty sure the sun god Helios existed before somebody named Helium.
That statement is a fact. It is the Greek god of the sun that is named Helios.
Damn, got him.
All right,
Nelson, you're carrying the team right now.
Still maintaining a pretty solid lead. You're gonna have to get some. You're gonna have to get some screw ups here.
Yeah, we have to be able to make. Kind of have to just get lucky. We need to like kneecap them somehow.
I'm fucking pissed about fusion. Like I was basically right, Jacob.
You were.
All right. The sun is composed of three layers: the chronosphere, the chromosphere, and the modelo.
That's a beer, dude. Bro, I have no idea.
Oh, man. I was hoping you were going to have some idea, because I also don't have any idea.
The Chronosphere, the Chromosphere, and the Modelo.
Oh, that sounds made up.
It does all sound so made up.
Yeah. I think there's more than three.
You think there's more than three layers of the sun?
There are yeah. three layers on the sun. There's your hint.
That's also what I named the layers of my cakes, you know.
Yeah. Modelo is just for me, though.
Modelo has too much
coke. So, wait, we were given hints?
No. They just got one earlier.
You've each gotten a hint as far as, like, which half of the statement is correct or incorrect.
So, what there's the important three part is? Layers.
There are three there layers are definitely of the three sun. Layers. They are named the Chronosphere, the Chromosphere, and the Modelo.
The Modelo has to be fucking wrong. That's not. That sounds like a layer of the skin or some bullshit. That's false.
You think it's a fraud?
Yeah, it's a fraud.
No, I think you're right. I think it's a fraud. I'm not. I think that sounds like Robin made those things up. So yes, I think that's a fraud.
First of all, let's start with this. Inner core. Didn't even say that one.
Got him.
The sun is composed of three layers, but they are actually called the photosphere, the chromosphere, and the corona.
Got it.
Yes. Oh, we should get 3 points for that. That was so tough.
I named one of the things the Modelo, and you bought it for a little
bit. I did. I so bought it. I was so sure.
I was like, Modelo, that's not real.
Modelo died. All right.
Final question for DTS. Sunspots are caused by twists and tears in the magnetic field of the sun.
Yeah.
Sunspots are caused by twists and tears in the magnetic field of the sun.
Wait, no. I don't
There's
know.
No, that's, those are coronal mass injections, aren't they?
Oh, no.
When it breaks, that's when you get the solar wind coming out, right? Like, I mean, granted, I think the increase in magnetic activity in the sun creates more sunspots, but I think the tearing is what I have a problem with, and I'm going to go with that's a false statement.
What's that shit from that movie 2012? The sun like whacks some energy or something? I have no idea. I'm going to go with Nelson. Fraud.
That is actually a fact.
Oh my god!
Sunspots are caused by twists and tears in the magnetic field of the sun.
I was fucking right, Nelson.
Oh, sorry, I haven't seen my John Cusack movies. So
it's a really bad movie.
It really is. I watched it recently. It's dog shit.
I think the last disaster movie I saw was The Core with Hilary Swank and somebody else. Where they had to restart the Earth's core because it stopped spinning because
the fuck?
I've only seen two Hilary Swank movies. That's it.
One of them, Boys Don't Cry.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The two Oscar movies, that and Million Dollar Baby.
We watched Scary Movie 4 recently, and it, like, a huge, like, pivot point in that film was Million Dollar Baby. Like, they kept going back to the Million Dollar Baby parody.
Is it like Pootie Tang in Scary Movie 3, where they kept on going back to aliens wanted to watch Pootie Tang? That's why it was like, going on Earth.
Yeah.
God.
All right. Speaking of the Earth.
Yeah.
Final question.
Wow. Opportunity to tie it up. Heroes. Do you have a tiebreaker?
I'm going to make one.
Okay. I want that one, and it's going to be a fraud.
If you get this question right.
Okay.
And force the tiebreaker, I will find one. The sun. The sun is 1.2 billion years older than the Earth. Sun is 1.2 billion years older than the Earth.
Okay, now let's just think this out from the very beginning.
Let's start with this. Watch it just be a billion years.
The sun is definitely older than the Earth. Let's start there.
It's not some shit like that. It's not some shit like that.
It definitely is older than the Earth.
For sure. Yeah, because in order... Sounds so stupid here. In order for that shit to even work, to have like a planet, you need the Earth. Sun.
Yeah, sun has to be there for the Earth to be like a planet. So, sun definitely did come first. How much first is the question?
Yeah,
like 1.2 billion. Do we know how old the sun is? I feel like that's some shit that scientists are still working out.
6,000 years old. yeah, actually the sun is only a day older than the Earth. God did it.
Yes, God did it that way. You're right. It's like 2,000 years, my bad.
The sun is a day older than before the Earth could even measure a day.
That's right.
Yeah.
Right.
It was actually an eternity between the two.
Okay, I'm sure. 1.2 billion.
I feel like it's more than that,
shit,
right?
Shit takes a no. I think 1.2 billion sounds right. If anything, I'm worried it's less. But like, shit takes a long time. So this is what we know: Big Bang, 13 billion years ago.
I thought I'm gonna start singing the Big Bang Theory song. He's like,
13 billion.
Okay.
Okay,
so you're right. So if 13 billion is the whole Big Bang, then I think it's reasonable to think that 1.2 might have just been the sun.
Yeah, like the sun, I think it's the sun is still like kind of early. I don't know. This is hard. Man. Yeah, 1.2. Fact. We gotta go fact.
Yeah, well, I don't think we have anything to overturn it. Let's just say fact.
Yeah.
Final answer,
fact.
That statement is fraudulent.
No! I
made it up. It's closer to 100 million. So it's actually not that. It's 0.1 billion years, not 1.2.
Elon, you were so right. It was less, dude.
I'm sorry.
Listen, you had it, and it was my fault for not having you go with your gut.
You guys get that smell, that victory smell? You getting that?
Yeah, I am.
Are you ready? Are you ready to hand over the championship belt?
It's coming through. This is disgusting. Jack. This is a travesty.
Congratulations on the dub. It's been a pleasure to facilitate this game for you.
I've learned a lesson. Just listen to Mars more. That's the lesson I learned today. We would have had a perfect score.
Yeah, there's really nothing we could do about our. We just were going to. I'm too stupid for that.
This was always going to happen. Sorry.
Nuclear fusion.
That's. I'm going to be so mad about that later.
All right. Well, I think that has us rounding down towards the end of our program here, I think.
True,
we had
yeah.
some fun. We played a game. We talked some music. I don't know. Is there anything else we wanted to hit? There's just one more thing left to do. We got just one more thing to ask you. I'll fuck you up if you tell us the truth.
What are you listening to now? Well, I mean, we have our wonderful way that we like to end off the show normally, which is just kind of, you know, what have you been listening to recently? What have you been fucking with? What have you had on repeat? What would you want to point people towards as far as stuff that you've been listening to, been bumping?
I've been listening to a new single probably 7 times a day by a band named Mothy or Moth. I don't know what it's really called. Called Photo Booth. Shit slaps. Dope artists from Houston. Now they live in LA. They're amazing. Love that shit.
Hell yeah.
Me, I've actually, maybe it's because of the dynamic of our band here, but I've been listening to Fantagram, which is also, you know, dude producer, you know, and a singer-songwriter that sings. And, you know, it definitely, like, helps me put in the context of, like, what it is I provide to this, you know, this thing that me and Mars got, you know, and also I've been listening to a lot of, like, old Motown stuff.
Nice.
You know, old classic, like, love songs, you know, like, a lot of Shuggie Otis, Chubbing and Turnpikes, you know, the old, like, you know, Black Barbecue summertime stuff, you know,
sure.
Like, it's actually been pretty, I've been pretty nostalgic, lately, you know. Yeah, I'm about to turn 35 in about a month, so, like, it's, you know, I go back sometimes a lot to what my parents listen to. And but as far as new stuff, I'm still on this Cheem record because I can't really.
I was literally gonna say the same thing. I've been listening to the Cheem record so much.
Yeah, the Cheem record is good.
It's great. I'm
looking forward to the getting back together to release an album next week. The new Wonder Years album is actually pretty good. You know, it sucks to compete against the Wonder Years. You know,
sure.
Because we could have not had any listen, but so far I think the response that we've gotten for our record has been pretty good, and I've honestly been listening to that a lot too, because it sounds way better on streaming than it did on SoundCloud. I don't know what SoundCloud does to our music, but yeah, it definitely sounds better.
Weird. I've never heard that.
Yeah. I think it may be because, like, you know, the way that I mix it is, like, things are put to the back more. I don't think SoundCloud likes the rear sounding channel at all. You know, but yeah, like, all the streaming services, our shit bangs, you know? So.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah, the Cheem record. I've actually gone back to the Hey, I Love You record because my vinyl just came in.
Like, nice.
You know, so yeah, I got the first two EPs on vinyl. And, and I've gone back to Nine Inch Nails and Rammstein because I recently saw them live. Seeing Rammstein live was amazing. That was an amazing show.
Wow, that's quite a show.
And they like, as old as they are, they're still doing the crazy pyrotechnics and stuff like that. A fairly expensive show. You can tell they're getting older. I would not be surprised if they don't have another stadium tour in America in them.
Damn.
Because this one was, like, delayed for, like, 2 years at that, too. So, but, yeah, that's what I've been getting into.
I wanted to note that if anyone told 14-year-old Mars that they would release a record the same day as the Wonder Years, they would probably shit themselves.
Hell yeah. In good company, absolutely. That's amazing. Oh, that's go ahead.
Oh, go ahead.
Okay. Having a standoff.
I will not go ahead over you.
Okay. I mean, just being able to release a record of this quality, at least for me, it's also very, it's almost like as if I can't believe I was able to help make something like this, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
It's good as shit. And by the way, we didn't mention this at all yet, but thank you so much for letting us throw one of the tracks.
Oh, yeah. We didn't talk about it in the finale.
Okay. Me and my roommate, I ran and she was still in bed. I fucking woke her up. And we listened to this shit and we started just chanting Worm Nation. Swear to God.
Thank you.
That's awful to hear. That's awful. Thank you, but.
I was watching.
Jacob doesn't want anyone to listen to the show.
Yeah, I don't know.
I was washing dishes, you know, when this relationship bit is this is a real thing.
Keelan said some maybe tough stuff. Keelan got Keelan went full kayfabe. Like, he was in character the whole time.
Yeah, that was some chaotic evil shit, man.
Yeah.
That really was.
Yeah. And he kept method acting after, and he wouldn't stop doing the voice.
I honest to God, forgot like most of the things that I said. So listening back to that episode, I was like, oh God, what the fuck did I just say?
That's incredible.
It was like a Bush joke or something. Oh my God. Me and my roommate were just fucking dying.
That one was kind of out of control, dog.
Are you sure it's like a good thing you're on here?
I think you are at least the second person to specifically reference the Bush joke. So.
Yeah. I know, I saw that shit referenced on Twitter and I was like, no. Oh my fucking God, no. Oh my God.
Oh, well.
But yeah, I'm assuming you guys have listened to the record, right?
Yeah, of course. Yeah. Absolutely.
Like, what are your favorite songs on it?
I honestly love Protectors. Like when I was listening through, that was like, I was trying to figure out like what you were kind of just like, yeah, which song do you want?
Yeah.
And sent me the private link. I was like, oh shit. Like, and listening through, I mean, I love Protectors. Like I really fucking love.
Yeah. Protectors is a really good one. I like, it's just like Bleeding and Hold the Space, frankly.
Hell yeah.
That's a really good one.
I just want to say to everybody how close to, because before I sent Shade out to Mars, I'm like, I was literally about to hit the delete button on that track.
No!
I was really about to hit the delete button on that track.
No.
And, oh, by the way, the main lane of communication between myself and Mars when we made this record was actually Instagram.
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
You know, and before I'm like, you know what, let's upload this to SoundCloud and just make it downloadable for you know, in case Mars wants it, because I don't want this on my computer anymore. Like,
yeah,
right.
You know, I'm deleting this file one way or the other, but I need to put it somewhere.
Yeah, when Mars said they like it, I just kept the project file and I kept on upgrading it, you know, and upgrading it to see more professional, because, you know, but yeah, like that was almost deleted. That and Protectors actually was almost deleted.
No!
That's crazy.
Yeah, that's wild.
Those are my two favorites. So.
Protectors was so fucking hard to write. I think Nelson sent me Protectors when he sent me Shade, like maybe a week after. And I like tried to work on that song for like a year and a half.
Wow.
And we had already finished Hold the Space and the record was supposedly done. And I was so stubborn about Protectors. And it ends up being like one of my favorite songs on the whole record, and like this moment of like anger that you don't see at any point in it. Fucking love working with Austin. But I wanted to talk about like what Nelson mentioned earlier when the, cause we got to like five songs and I think we shared it with Super Destroyer, and Nelson and Super Destroyer, they're like, yeah, okay, this is done. And I had this long conversation with Super Destroyer, and he was just like, Mars, you have to let the record go. Like, cause I'm notorious for like holding on to my albums and not releasing them until they're perfect. And he was just like, please don't do that with this one. Cause like, it's so good.
Right.
And I called Nelson and I was like, it's not done. I don't care what John says. I'm so sorry. We can't like do this without that like final song. Mm. And we had talked about like what the final song should look like, and Nelson sent me Hold the Space, and I think I didn't listen to it until I got home at like 1 a.m, and I was so into it that I'm pretty sure I stayed up like 6 hours until like 7 a.m.
That's incredible.
And mind you, after I sent that track, Mars didn't say shit to me until it was done.
Yeah.
Just immediately went into creative mode.
Yeah,
like not even a heart react to be like, yeah, I saw it, I like it. Just dove straight in and finished it.
Well, I get it, because like I feel like that sort of like creative manic energy is like, that's when I feel the best doing anything. Like I love when we get to work on just like little stingers, like when we got to do all the sound drops for the finale, like it was so much fun to just like sit around and write those, and like, just, I don't know, it's like having that creative outlet is so much fun. And if it's something that you like genuinely enjoy and are like finally happy with, it's like just so doubly or triply satisfying to be doing it. So I totally see just like tuning everything else out and doing that for 6 hours straight.
But yeah, I think when that happened, that's when I knew that Mars actually believed in me.
Hell yeah.
And that meant a lot to me that like that they trusted me with just a simple description of what they wanted and they got it done. But when I sent it out, I'm like, God damn, they don't like this at all.
Right. This is going like yeah. at all. Got the but left like, on red.
Keelan had a demo that I guess was left on red in like 3 band group chats that he just sent again. That turns out to like actually bang.
So yeah, it's incredible. It's so good.
Totally, totally get that feeling of like, oh God, what have I done? Just while you're waiting for that response.
God. The empty, the silence from like when you send something in the band chat and the silence of nothing. And it's like, well, I guess I'll go fuck myself.
Well, the thing I learned is if Mars doesn't like something, they will tell me right away. You know, oh, yeah. Yeah, they'll tell me right away. If they do like something, the silence means that they're probably actively working on it.
I love that song so much. It's like literally one of my favorite things that Nelson has ever done. And I didn't exactly know that he was so scared that I would hate it. I think when I sent it, it didn't have the other parts of the songs yet. It was just like the lead. And I'm pretty sure I stayed up for another like 4 hours, just like fine tuning it.
I remember that. I do.
Probably my favorite song I've ever written. Just hell like, yeah. All the way that it, like, Nelson created something that allowed me to tie in the whole record. That shit's amazing. I love that.
It is.
I remember that night because I was at work and I kept on getting, okay, I got the first file with Mars singing. I'm like, okay, this bang, this is a shit. I get another file with Mars singing on it and I'm like, oh, fuck, this is getting better.
Yeah, also bang.
Yeah, also bang it, and the third one comes, and I was like, oh, man, like, Mars is just going insane right now, and it's like, this song is never what I imagined it to be, you know? And
yeah.
The idea of collaborating, it was, like, a bad word for me for a while, you know, because you go into collaborating with certain people, and sometimes it works out, sometimes people don't work as hard as you do, and that's when you have that differential, it sucks when you're at a hard-working party. But that wasn't the case here. You know, like, I trusted Mars, and I felt that Mars trusted me. So, you know, I think that made it a lot better. And plus, I think we're generally fans of each other's work, you know? Yeah. Like, you know, like, we respected each other's solo craft before we got together.
Hell yeah.
You know, and I'm always working on stuff, you know? And anytime this can happen, I'm good. I can do this. You know, this is... You know,
yeah, say the word, it's happening.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, like, yeah, anything that I do, anything that I make, you know, I am more than happy letting Mars get first dibs at my music.
Oh, yeah.
I definitely snatched some songs from what was supposed to be upcoming Leave Nelson Be. Right. Definitely took a bunch of them.
Well, yeah, and they're better songs because of it, you know, The ownership of the song goes to somebody who can express something over it. And I believe that Disgust in the Sun, at least with this album, like, we accomplished a very, like, intently emotional record, you know, there's not a wasted bar on this record, either musically or lyrically.
Hell yeah.
You know? And,
absolutely.
Yeah. Like, we squeezed out everything that we could get out of these songs. And like, these are the songs we made, right? Like, I don't think we had any outtakes.
Yeah. Yeah, there was not a single song that was made that didn't make it to this record.
Oh yeah, that's amazing.
On that like note of being mutual fans, like, I'm pretty sure we had a conversation once where Nelson was like, yeah, you know, I just, you're amazing. Like, and it's so cool that I, a fan, get to work with you, which was insane for me to hear. I like remember telling him because it's the actual like opposite for me.
Right.
Where it's like, holy shit, someone who makes incredible music on their own is like allowing me to be on their song. Like, that's crazy to me. And I think that's like what makes it like so genuine, I think, when it comes together, is that we both just have like a deep appreciation for each other as musicians. Yeah, no, wouldn't have it any other way. For sure.
Oh, like this is probably the best relationship I had in my life. You know, like
hell yeah.
The most creatively fruitful relationship I ever had in my life. Because, like, I don't know, like, I feel like I've gotten to know Mars in a certain way that I have not got to know anybody else, you know? Like,
sure.
You know, I never.
I mean, it's a very, like very emotional.
This record, it is. It is a, you know, intimacy involved.
Yeah.
You know, but to go from fan to band member to collaborator to, like, you know,
yeah.
From fan to collaborator to band member, like we're a group.
Yeah.
You know, literally. Like,
absolutely.
Yeah, like it's still kind of wild, you know, and you know, and we yeah. did everything was done ourselves besides the artwork, like the mixing, mastering, the vocal processing, everything was done just us two, and like I wouldn't have it any other way.
Yeah, I think the final mixes were like done 30 minutes before I had to take Nelson back to the train station. We finished the record right on time.
Incredible. Awesome. No time to spare, but no time wasted.
No, everything ended up exactly the way it should have ended up.
Hell yeah. It's so satisfying to be able to say that, I'm sure, as an artist. Like,
yeah.
Like to have that, like, I don't know if it's closure necessarily, because it's not done, but like to be able to like really bookend that project in a really satisfying way.
Oh, hell yeah. Like I mentioned, like the records that I would like hold on to as Holy Kerouac, it always felt like not undone. I don't think I've ever released anything that I don't like. But there's like a story that is still like continuing right through multiple records. And I think we were both very firm, like this like moment, this like grief, this like closure, right? That word specifically.
Yeah.
Can just be contained in this record. And it is like a full experience of it. And that I don't think I've ever been able to say about any art that I've done, like that can just be like, this is that moment in a record. And this is all of the feelings that you could have.
Yeah. And like this record is an emotional home for me too. And it's also I think it's the first time I've been in this situation. And I'm pretty sure it's the first time that, you know, that we at Lonely Ghost have done a two-piece band, you know, producer, singer, record. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, definitely.
And don't get me wrong, I did not produce this record. Disgust and the Sun produced this record.
Right.
You know, so, but yeah, it's a, but yeah, just the first time that we've, like, this is the best debut album I've ever done.
Hell yeah.
You know,
yeah.
You know, this is the best debut album I've ever done. Actually, this is Mars' second debut LP of the year, I believe.
Yeah.
You know, both of them are great. You know,
one's better than the other, but like, yeah, for sure. Yeah.
You know, I agree with Mars. The satisfaction of having this done and, you know, wrapped up with a bow and being its self-contained story without leaving anything open. I never had that kind of satisfaction.
My therapist is a big fan of this record.
That's so dope. That's awesome.
Yeah. This is a record that we were born to make together, you know?
Yeah.
That's incredible.
Sorry, oh, yeah.
Sorry to get the sentimental on you guys. But,
no, please. No,
it's good.
You know, I love Mars. Mars is, like, my homie for life. For real. Like,
love you, buddy.
Yeah.
Well, I'm so glad that you guys were able to come on and talk to us about it. I mean, I think when we talked, I want to say it was probably Super Destroyer who told us about this upcoming project first, but I remember talking about it all the way back then, and it was like this mystical thing that was going to happen. Like, just even hear him talking about it was like, you just saw how excited and like genuinely amped he was for it to be happening. So
he believed in the record before anybody else, like really believed in it.
Yeah,
that rocks.
You know, like, when he first told me, like, okay, Mars, you gotta not hold on to this one because I want it to be out because it's so great.
Yeah.
And me and Nelson didn't listen to him. I sent him Hold This Space, or I sent him like the whole record all together.
Yeah.
And he's just like, holy shit, this, what the fuck? You completely surprised him. And that felt good. I don't know there if there have been many times where I surprise Super Destroyer. it was great.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, and I think our label's been pretty good about receiving the record, and you know, like we killed it. We killed it.
You killed it.
And you really did.
I do agree with that.
And thank you guys for support. Really, like it means a lot to me.
No,
like,
please, of course, you guys are welcome back anytime. There's a standing open invitation. Door is always open at the YBIG. Yeah,
you've got a project. Give us a DM. We will do something. We'll have you on. We'll shout you out. Love you both.
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh my gosh, y'all are amazing.
Gang, I feel like that kind of that bow ends it kind of rather nicely. That's kind of a nice way to end it, huh? Just a big bunch of love.
Can I give one? Are there any new bands I should?
Oh, I didn't ask you about music. Yeah, please.
That's okay. Arm's Length, new single.
Fuck yes.
So good. Object Permanence. Please listen to it. Obviously, they've had a great couple of years, but I'm very excited for the LP.
Yep.
Also been listening to a lot of the own brand freestyle because of the Fortnite dance. So I will be probably listening to nothing but that for the next several days.
I don't know what that is, and I'm going to ignore it. Keelan, have you listened to anything?
A lot of No Pressure.
I was gonna fucking say the same thing, you piece of shit. No Pressure is good.
Well, Robin took my Arm's Length one, which is not fair because I bought two shirts and they didn't.
That is true.
Also, on the same day that we released Rove released a really good record. I'm trying to find the name of it now, but like, oh man, that was so good. Cards. Rove released Cards, and that was really, really good. It's like it's like Smashing Pumpkins meets Pearl Jam's Vitalogy, and like,
ooh,
it's definitely like me. I was born in 87, so like the grunge movement is still like, you know, a pillar in my childhood, and that record definitely pays a good tribute, and it definitely gets better as it goes along. So I want to give Rove credit, you know, what it is deal, shared a release date with us, and you know, actually like supported our record too, you know. So I'm very, very excited about Rove and Cards. That's a great record.
Yeah, gonna second that.
Hell yeah.
I think it might be past my bedtime.
Yeah, let's leave it there. I'm getting mad sleepy.
All right.
I'm getting absolutely sleepy vibes. I'm putting the big cap on.
As always, it has been an absolute pleasure. Thank you so much for putting up with our bullshit.
Yeah, thank you guys both.
And
such a
Nelson,
treat.
Thank you for putting up with it again. So,
yeah, no problem.
Is there anything that anybody wants to just shout out as the outro music starts to fade in?
Yeah, follow us on Twitter. It's the only place that I post. I don't know what it's called though. So,
at Disgusting the Sun.
Sure. Yeah.
Nice. I think it's discussing like there's without no the G. Yeah, discussing no the G. Sun.
Yeah, Mars is at Mars Chaos later. I am at Leave Nelson B.
You guys cheated in that game. You guys cheated.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
All right, bye.
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 And thank you so much, as always, to our friends, Nelson and Mars from Discussing the Sun. Seriously, just wonderful people. It was an absolute treat having them on the show. Thank you to them for putting up with us and for listening to us and doing our dumb game and stuff. And for coming on to the season 3 premiere. A lot of fun. Seriously, love them so much. So big shout out to Discussing the Sun. Check out that album. That's Feel It All, out now, and it's streaming just basically wherever you can listen to badass shit. So that's where I would check that out. Throw them a few bucks for it. I say this always, but seriously, worth doing. Going over to discussingthesun.bandcamp.com. That's the place to do that. Follow them on Twitter at Discuss in the Sun. No G on that one. Insta is at Discussing the Sun. So definitely throw them a follow over there. Also, just check out all these incredible people's other projects as well. Listen to Holy Kerouac. listen to Leave Nelson Be, and yeah, all that fun stuff. And check out Lonely Ghost. We always say it, but check him out. Right into the show, it's ybigpodcast@gmail.com. You can follow the podcast on Twitter at ybigpodcast, on Instagram at yourmanisgarbage. If you like the show, throw us a rating, 5 stars, Spotify and iTunes. It's free. It don't hurt you. It goes a long way. We certainly appreciate it. So all the love is much appreciated. Music for Your Band Is Garbage is courtesy of Hey, I Love You, Derek Christensen, and Leave Nelson Be.